This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Helga Borgarts. He's one of the members of Bows to Hymns, a composer collective. And it's great to have a chance to talk with you about your soundtrack for The Surge 2.
Hey, Kate, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yeah, I'm always curious about how people get attached to projects. And so maybe we could start with talking about how you did get attached to doing the soundtrack or your portion of the soundtrack for The Surge 2.
Yeah, of course. That's the most obvious question we were asked every time. How did you get the job? And I think that is one of the most important questions. So I'm personally, I work in this industry for 20 years, and I know the developer Deck 13 very well. And we did work on the last project, on the DLC for The Surge 2 already. And that was such a great collaboration that they said, okay, now for The Surge 2, if we want to continue that relationship. And of course, we wanted to do that.
Yeah, I can imagine. How much of the game was ready to show you when Deck 13, you know, kind of got you interested in it?
Mm-hmm. At that project, the game was that far that we could play a prototype, that we had a lot of visual impact, a lot of visual materials available. So I have to say, luckily, Deck 13 is one of the developers who has a very clear opinion and very clear view on what they want in terms of music for their game, what atmosphere they want to have created. So they don't kill the creative process, but they have a clear vision what they want. And that makes it, to a certain degree, for us as composers, kind of easier, because we still can present things, but we get a grip on it and a feeling of what they want. So they gave us artwork, they gave us some gameplay videos, so we had a lot of materials and we could instantly dive into that world. That was kind of easy.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's an interesting world. It's a dystopian, really grungy future. There's hardly any humans left, and the world itself looks like it's just an awful place to be in, honestly.
It is. It's kind of, in the first game, The Surge 1, there was more focus on the really unique kind of gameplay. There was story in it, yes, but not as much as in Surge 2. So they further developed that part, and that made it even more exciting for us. In The Surge 1, in the DLC, there was a kind of, and that was already a great experience, this kind of cowboyish science fiction world. So as in the DLC now for Surge 2, where you have this 90s world on that military boat or carrier thing. So as you have that in Surge 2, they had a similar thing in Surge 1 already, and that was exciting to see how can we combine some Western elements with electronic sounds. And they're focusing more and more on these specific kind of storytelling elements. That is, for a composer, of course, great.
Oh, I can imagine. And it's really cool that you worked with Marcus Schmidt, who did a lot of the music for the story elements, the combat, the bosses and that kind of thing. And Bows to Hymns, your composer collaborative, did the music for the various areas and bringing those to life and giving them like a really unique personality. And so that must have been a really, really fun process.
Yes, Marcus did a really terrific, great job on writing a great main theme, and he scored a lot of the boss fights and the more gameplay things. He did work with the developer for years, so he knows exactly what they want, and he really brought it to the point. What they wanted now is to have some new influence and some new ideas how this the whole mood of the scenes could further develop, and they wanted to add something new, and they said, oh, we want something that sounds, that embraces the player, but on the other hand that does not interfere too much with the gameplay. I mean, that's obviously always the problem with music in games, that you should not interfere with the gameplay, but just support it. So we didn't closely work with Marcus because we had a completely different approach on that. And the first thing that we did is we sat together and we sought out what kind of sounds do we need here. So we really started completely with sound design. That is a completely different approach from a lot of other games that we did, where we came more from the melodic or harmonic approach. We said, okay, let's write a nice melody, a nice main theme, etc. Here it was really, let's sit together, how does this world sound like?
so tell me about the other composers or the other composer from Bose to Hymns that you worked with on this project.
Yeah, we're a collaborative of three composers, and on that project, a specific project, I work with Thomas Stanger, and the third one is Felix Hastrich. He was on another project for that time, but Thomas and myself, we are kind of a really good mixture of classical jazz musicians. So Thomas, for example, is a brilliant piano player, and he can easily translate very nice melodic ideas into really big scores. I'm having far more background from singer-songwriting and from classical music, so that mixes up together. But what we do like at the end both is working on sounds and developing new sounds, and that's for me, that was the interesting part here. If you're just working with an orchestra, the sound is a kind of settled. I mean, you have the instrument, of course you can still invent and do something new, but the sound is a kind of settled. In the electronic world, you're completely free to do whatever you want. And that's exciting. And that's dangerous because you can get totally lost.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, it's like having, the world's most huge box of crayons or something. And it's like infinite possibilities. And
it is.
So where did you even start then? I mean, how did you kind of get it to the point where you sort of narrowed down the sound enough that you knew it was going to, you know, be consistent through the game?
It was a back and forth process with the developer. So we developed a kind of sound, a kind of mood, some textures. We wrote 1 minute pieces, really short tracks, sent it to the developer and said, what do you think about this and this? And again, we were really lucky because Deck 13 has a taste for music, and I cannot stress that enough, because sometimes it's difficult because the development process is so much focused on the graphics, on the gameplay, that sometimes music just is not as important. For them it is. So we really got excellent feedback from them, and they told us exactly this is what we want, this supports our vision, that is a great piece of music, but that does not work for us. So that also can happen. And so we did that back and forth, and once we had agreed, okay, this is the sound, this is the kind of texture we want to have here at the university, we continued from there and just made more and more music from the existing agreed ideas.
There are a lot of different areas in the game where you can go, and you've touched on a few of them. And you know, there's a prison, and then
detention.
And so, what was it about those areas that helped you get that unique sound?
really the visuals. I mean, for me, music always have to be connected to something within the visuals, and to support this. And that was quite easy here because they had an amazing artwork. They had absolutely fantastic graphics. So it was kind of, as I said, kind of easy to dive into that world already. That is different if you're at the beginning of a game development process when there is not so much material, and sometimes you get overwhelmed by the first scribbles and the first graphics that they do. But then in the game you realize, oh, the original graphics or the concept art was far different than what is in the game. But here everything really came perfectly together. So sometimes there have been more materials we could attach the music to. I mean, materials in the game, metals or carbon fibers or electricity, and sometimes there were more organic structures in the area, so we could use softer sounds and kind of more natural sounding sounds. So yeah, we always reflected or get inspired by the visuals.
Did you go out and record any, weird things to
Oh
process
yes,
it?
oh yes, we did a lot. We also did for this game, we also did a lot of the sound effects, and that was interesting for us because sometimes we recorded something metals, or I was in the garage with my father with my microphone, and we recorded every kind of metal impacts and clashes and things like that. And then back in the studio, I mean, the more important part than just doing the samples is to manipulate them afterwards. And there, as I said, you can get completely lost, but sometimes you realize, oh, this sound that was intended to be, I don't know, the sound of a hammer crashing scratching on a piece of metal. Well, that could be a nice texture. Let's expand this. Let's make a musical texture from it, or let's do some granular synthesis on it. And after a few hours, you have a great sound that you can play as an instrument. So
Wow.
that works back and forth.
Well, I think what's so cool about that and the whole process of, you know, manipulating it is you can make it be a particular tone or a key and then, yeah, build a cue just right around that.
Exactly. That is always our idea. I mean, we say we want to make a difference, and that's not just a saying. I think there is so much music and there's so much audio out there in the world. If you want to kind of stick out as a composer or as a group, you need to find something unique, something your own. And I think with the Search 2, we are not 100% there, but we are getting closer there. It is already a kind of unique music and a unique sounding experience, and we want to develop that further.
That is really important because there are so many different sample libraries that you can just buy now. And to have something that's really bespoke and, you know, grows out of the sound of the game is really, really special. And yeah, you're right. Especially now, it's really important.
I cannot agree more, Kate. I totally think it's, as we can all buy really sophisticated libraries nowadays. And I would say, especially when it comes to orchestral stuff. I mean, it's fantastic what is there on the market, but it gets. It makes you kind of lazy, or it can make you lazy, because everything sounds already so great and you're just writing nice tunes and nice melodies that sometimes you forget that there needs to be still something new in the music. And that was from Mozart to Beethoven to all the classical composers, although they used similar kind of instrumentation, but they also added something new, and they further developed music as a form of art. And yeah, I don't say we're doing it like Mozart and Beethoven, but at least we try to do our little bit to push it in a unique and new direction.
Yeah, it would be amazing to think of what they would do if you handed them, you know, a synthesizer and.
Oh yes, I think Mozart today would write film scores. I'm very sure he would be a film or game musician.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Well, when you're writing music for a particular area, like say the government district, and you know that the player can spend a really different amount of time there. Either you can just sort of race right through and get all the pickups and get the weapon upgrades and stuff that you want, or you can take your time and explore. So what are some of the things you think about to keep the music from just getting really repetitive?
That's a good question. So my first idea is always we need to write more music so repetition can be easily avoided. But of course you're right. When you have a level of 1, 2, 3 hours, you cannot always write 2 hours of music. So what we have in Search is, first of all, we have different tracks for kind of ambient layer or kind of, let's say, slow speed layer. And we have a kind of more fight aggressive layer. And of course, we still have fight and battle music. So as it comes very often to conflicts in the game, you have this battle tracks playing, interrupting the normal, let's call it level music. The other thing is the technical approach. Of course, level or music that is played within the level avoids too much melody, avoids too much instruments that might stick out and annoy the player. But also, again, it's very good that the developer knows or has a good understanding for the implementation. So they implemented it very, very well. And there are a lot of scenes in the game completely without music. And we love that. We absolutely love that. Because you can only value music when it's sometimes not there. So they never overstressed it. They always put it in the right position and let it play and let it not play. And we also wrote a lot of smaller pieces that were just triggered when the player reaches certain points within the game. So like a film drama. So when he reaches that, there is a short stinger coming in or a short sound coming in that interrupts the musical background.
It works so well because, like you say, it comes and goes and it grows out of the sound design. So it's not like this wallpaper in the background. And so.
Exactly, but that is really a credit we have to give to the developer. I mean, we write the music and we have our ideas, but the miracle is really implementation, how it is implemented in the game. And they did a terrific job with that.
Yeah, it's so subtle now in the way that they can use the implementation software like Wise. you can get really granular with where you put the music. So,
yes. And a lot of players said said, oh, we hardly heard the music. We would love to have it louder. And we said, oh, if that's the result, then to be honest, it was perfectly done. Because if they didn't hear it, but they said we had a great gaming experience, then everything was perfectly right. If we would have done it louder, if it would have been implemented louder, they might have been distracted while they are playing the game. So when they finally say, oh, we had a great gaming experience, the game was great, oh, we would have loved to hear the music a little bit louder, we're absolutely happy with that. And we say, well done.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, and now that the soundtrack is out, you know, people can listen to it whenever they
exactly.
want to. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Your cue or the track on the soundtrack, Black Market, is kind of an outlier because it has this like really fun reggae beat. And so,
oh yes, that was big fun. They said we needed something. I mean, it is a shopping mall. That music is played in a shopping mall, and that's how it should sound like this. Easy listening, jazzy kind of shopping mall music or elevator music that doesn't hurt at all. And there's a street musician sitting in that shopping mall playing some percussion elements. When you get closer to him, you see that they're in sync with the music. But it is a black market, so it's not just a funny shopping mall with families and kids in the game situation. It's a black market. And we said this music must completely be different from anything else. I personally love that.
It's a lot of fun, especially because when you come upon it, it's just it's lively and it's melodic and yeah, it just really really got my attention. You worked with an absolutely beautiful singer, Alina Lesnick.
Oh yes,
for The Escape. Have you worked with her before? I mean, how did you find her?
Yes, we did work before on several trailer music things that we did, and she is just fantastic. And she's not just a great singer, but also a wonderful person to work with. And after the collaboration on several projects before, we said, okay, we do not have much singing parts in the score, but at least at this specific track, we wanted her to sing, because that's a really important part in the game, that is right before the player reaches what we call the final battle in the game. And we wanted to have a kind of really emotionally strong piece in there. And we also decided that it's not so much percussion going on, it's not so aggressive, it's just really dramatically embracing the player. And that only works with an amazing voice for me personally. And so we asked her, and yeah, she instantly lifted that track to a completely different level. And we were absolutely thrilled. She's fantastic.
I love the sound of her voice. What's so really, I think, kind of attention getting is that, as you say, all the other music in the game is really instrumental, and there aren't a lot of melodies to latch onto. So having that little bit of humanity in the game score is just really wonderful.
If you felt it that way, I'm absolutely happy. No, I mean, that's one more important thing for me to say. I mean, people always, or let me start a different way. We do not make music for soundtracks. So this music was never intended to be on a soundtrack. When we did the soundtrack, we also needed to rework every single track, right? Intros, extras, so that they really became tracks you can listen to and make some rearrangements. So you hardly hear the music completely as a track as it's in the game. That's how it's done with all the film scores. I mean, you never have 3-4 minute pieces in a film that play in a row. So I would say we are not writing concert music, we are writing game music. So when you play the game and then you want to stay into that mood and into that feeling, then the score is for me works very, very well. You can still stay a little bit longer in the game. When you listen to the music or to the score, and that goes for almost every game score, when you listen to the game score without having played the game, you miss the best of it, because that's not what it's made for. There are, of course, some tracks that do work really well, especially the main themes, because they are written to be heard as a theme. But all the in-game music has a purpose in the game and has to serve this purpose very, very well. And the purpose is not to be played on a stage or with an orchestra, but to work in the game. That's really important to say. So you should never judge games music by listening to the soundtrack. You should judge it by listening to it in the game.
Well, you got to go back to the world of The Search 2 with the Kraken DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a crazy concept, the suburbs on the cruise ship. And so I'm just wondering, what sort of ideas did you want to keep from The Search 2? So it sounds like it's still in the same world, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You probably had a little more freedom because it's a completely different area, right?
Yes, yes. The appearance or the look of this world on that carrier was a 90s world. So we instantly said, okay, let's do something. Let's take the electronic parts from Search 2, from the main game, but let's add something typical 90s to it. And then we came up with grunge music, and then we said, okay, let's do electro grunge. I mean, although this is a kind of contradiction within itself, but we said let's give it a try, and the developer was absolutely happy with the idea. So that's what you hear in the track. You hear this typical grungy electric guitars that we played, but we still kept the DNA from the Surge main game with the more electronic parts, and that was really big fun.
Yeah, I bet. Were there any bands in particular that you kind of, went back to listen to and said, "Wow, I really like that sound"?
Yeah, of course. I mean, being a child of the 80s and the 90s, I listened to all the Nirvana stuff, although I know this is more the mainstream grunge stuff, and there has been more things like that. But as I said, I'm coming more from a singer-songwriter background, so this was far more familiar to me than the electronic music. So yeah, it was easy to dive in, and I packed out my electric guitar here and put on the amps and just played.
It's a great sound, and it's like a real throwback.
Thank
It's
you.
like, oh yeah, I remember that. So yeah, so you've mentioned a few times that your background is a singer-songwriter, and songs need melodies. And so what I'm wondering is, as you're writing music like this, is it more freeing for you to not have to focus so much on a melody?
No, it's just different. So I do not have a preference either for either a classical or electronic music. I mean, you still in both, you have so many different creative options to do things. But as I said, in classical music, the sound is kind of more determined, but then it's beautiful to write just a melody for a solo cello that touches people. On the other end here, to find out new sounds and to say, oh, I never heard something like that. Let's take this. Or this sounds weird. This sounds crazy. How did you do that, by the way? It's also big fun. As I said, the only problem with that for me personally is that I tend to get lost into that and to tweak sound even more and do a little bit more here and do a little bit more there. That's for me easier in classical writing.
Yeah, Well, we've covered a lot here, but is there anything that I missed that you'd like people to know about creating the score or anything else?
No, I think, as I said, for me, the most important part is, and obviously I need to say that, play the game. Because you will, for us, no, it's really of importance to me that we always say we want to help the developer to fulfill a vision and to fulfill an idea. And such a project as Search 2 that takes more years to be developed. And there is so much work before anyone starts to work on the project by thinking about the world, the story, the levels, etc. That we consider ourselves just to be a part of that team and to help them to deliver their vision and to fulfill their vision. And if that works in the game, that's fine. If people enjoy the soundtrack after that, it's even better. And I think the soundtrack is a great way to dive again into the game and to re-experience some of the parts of the game. But it can never substitute the feeling and the emotional impact that you have within the game. So anyone who likes the music should play the game.
Yeah, because then it's like, well, it's like seeing it in person and where it really belongs, which is so very cool. So Helga, it has been so much fun and so interesting talking with you. And so thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Thank you.